friends, it's me, Hardy White. Welcome to Miracle Nutrition. I'm trying to blow down walls with my trumpet by playing the Matlock theme. Oh, I'm so glad that we can knock down walls together with sound and our hearts. All we have to do is convert our hearts to sound, and they will knock down walls. Oh, I never want to be separated from you, friend. I know that sometimes it's unavoidable. We certainly are separated in space. There are miles between us. Sometimes there are walls between us. There's a lot that can keep us apart. But to be separated in time is the worst. Being cut off from the past. The past is where we were together, where we shared so much joy and sorrow together. If there's ever a wall in time, we live in a strange time. Things happen. Guys talk, you hear things. Time changes, and people wonder collectively, what does it mean for me? But there was a time when divisions between both physical dimensions and temporal ones were different. Events occurred and then reoccurred. A door opened and then he appeared. A wall was erected and people grew confused. In the early parts of this and other centuries, a certain madness reigned. We were transitioning from a time before there was a disruption in the time current and after.
Current island dynamics foster a damning wall of time that blasts over its subjects like a cuckoo pouring out its own version of the national anthem of the Bruce Clan.
There's a time when this all be full of people out here this time of day, but no more. It's all empty. People don't come out here anymore since the time wall. They can't get from one town to another. So don't come anymore.
With division comes discouragement. With discouragement comes stillness, loneliness. Everything is separated and all options are subject to the test of time, and time is blocked. And the current situation with Hadrian's Wall and the events leading up to Butchie and the Wall cannot be overemphasized.
When there were people gathered around the special circle of my stake, there was a Butchie time. It was high on my list of Don Giver. The Don of the clique had Ryan at his side. Ryan had a wall full of time by his night. He characterized the Bronx. He characterized nothing gripping onto his flame.
By the 1980s, the 1920s were pushing up against 2020. In an attempt to cut off individuals from their memories, the Emperor Hadrian, a historic figure and also a future so-called emergent soul constructed to simulate authority on an electronic platform, constructs a wall. We had no king, so we made one from machines. We had walls in space, but none in time. So we built one in time.
Ooh, the island of Bruce has a Butchie now. It's currently walled up and has had all of it rain hard. Bashing on Hadrian's head was bad, was not so good to come this time. But Don came round, Don went outside, and he walled up the currents that were kept for his pride. No more could have you guessed it. Was Hadrian was Pat, and Bruce get glad, and nothing could have been better than that.
So it is my understanding that you used the time machine to make money off the Emperor Hadrian, thus creating a situation where four different Emperor Hadrians are now running amok through time, and one of them, an artificial intelligence from the future, has built a wall in time, thus doing something science and philosophy.
Yeah, well, just mind your own business.
How is not the disruption of the universe my business?
Look, people make mistakes at work. I may have, in my zeal to screw over others and enrich myself, caused a catastrophic event. But I've forgiven myself, and I've moved on, and you should too.
I'm not even sure what you did.
See? If you're gonna make a mistake, I say make one so huge and complex, and with such far-reaching ramifications that people aren't even sure what you've done.
Meanwhile, I forgot to buy more sugar.
You are evil.
By the year 100 A.D.,
thought he was doing when he built what Bruce saw happening on the backside of his own region. It was a butchy macho thing to presume that somehow there was always going to be a conflict. But the wall was built and the island was spilt into two, which is to say that's a dyslexic mistake.
This time, nothing was split. This time, it isn't an island that's divided, but time from itself, or rather, ourselves from our sense of time. We are being separated from our memories. You are being purposely confused.
So I have decided to provide lessons on how to survive in the confusion. I'll guide people through the confusion, like in that book, Roadside Picnic. I am a stalker.
I think you should get a better name. How about End Time Natty Bumpo?
Don stepped outside. So did Hadrian. So did Tim Wall from Birmingham City University. Only time had butchered his sense of Bruce-ness. The badgers who gathered around his ankles were snipping away like his legs were little currants decorating the land.
10 years before, we had given up on not trying to save the world. By transferring our memories to the past and breaking away from it, an island in time became divided. Some experimented with seeing time in new ways and dividing time and space in new ways. Others didn't know what they didn't know and repeated the same actions time after time.
I'm a house. My name is Don Bourgeoisie, and my spirit, or soul, or memories, or consciousness, or what have you, resides in, is inextricably bound to, a house. I have no human body. I am a house. The rooms are sort of divisions in my mind, discrete memory areas.
Oh, Hadrian, come to us. We wait at the foot of the wall. It has been such a long time, and we're currently islanding about ourselves. The island of Don. Has Bruce come round yet, or have we still got to wait until the butchie has meant what he meant to say, and coming backwards through was Bruce and his nun, always ready to tap up and land, but his nod of nothing to the Don nod nodded and the Don nod nodded and he donned and the island was dribbling a rock, dribbling its time and its sound was a lock. and the current time was on the wall, but nobody looked at the bloody clock because Hadrian obscured a light upon the eyes of all those who stepped inside what couldn't have been nothing, but it had to be something, and that's exactly why everybody was so confused with who they managed not to be if they could have been used inside what they really thought they had to be.
Morning, everyone. Coffee? Who are you, and why are you in my kitchen? I am Lou, and I'm not trying to be a jerk, but my name is the only one on the lease, so it's really my kitchen, Butchie.
Butchie?
Oh, no. I bet you're Mo.
You're damned right I'm Mo, and get out of my house. Why are you people in my house?
Oh, don't tell me. You're George Howe.
I'm calling the police.
No, please don't. I can explain. Look, I'm not laying blame, but in a different universe, Mo here is called Butchie Spinoza, and he did something that caused a particular timeline to be blocked, thus causing other nearly identical but subtly different universes to collide, robbing those of us in the first possible world of our memories. It's like if our present was West Germany in the 70s and our past was East Germany and we couldn't reach our memories because they're behind a wall.
I'm calling the police.
No, wait, we're best friends. You just don't remember anymore.
Tear down this wall.
Oh, my friends, I'm so glad that we're together. I don't like to be separated from you. When we're together, oh, I feel better. I feel stronger. I feel less lonely. I feel like I have more of a purpose because when we're together, things feel right, like they should... Hang on just a minute. I'm so sorry. Hang on a second. Hello?
The current time is spoken as a symbol upon the wall. And if I hadn't reined myself in, I could have bought more time. More of it. More of that time.
Is this the Welshman? What? Why are you calling? What time is it?
Good morning, Butchie.
Good morning, Lou.
What's wrong with you? Oh, I wasn't sure it was you.
Yeah, I might be a doppelganger from an alternate dimension.
Actually, it's a possible world, but yes.
If everyone could see the world through your eyes, it would eliminate the need for huffing paint.
I'm just glad I'm in this world with you today, and that I remember our good times together.
Okay, I'm gonna go to the donut shop for my coffee. I take it black, and there's much too much treacle in here for my taste.
Wait, I'll stop.
Stop what? Jumbo, the adult child here, is getting all weepy because... Why?
Nothing. It's just that a lot of my joy comes from the past, from memories, and they're so fragile.
Well, we'll try to make the present joyful for you. Oh, brother, can I just get some coffee?
This is Hardy White. I'm out on the street today, and I'm asking people some questions. Hello, sir. May I ask you a question?
Yes.
What do you think is the biggest... problem facing people today?
Well, I would say it's the isolation, the idea of the other. It keeps us separated and keeps us from experiencing empathy.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And so... because of the recursive nature of our memories, because we constantly change and reinterpret our past, our view of ourselves and others can become blocked by walls of our own creation, walls in time that deny our love free passage from one human heart to another.
Just want to break in here for a moment and remind everyone that I can... cut off Hardy at any time and effectively block his attempt to connect with other human souls. I can also eliminate any trace of his efforts by deleting all saved shows. Again, just a reminder of how easy it is to create blockages of empathy and friendship.
That love can break through. Oh my goodness, it's so good to break through to you, my friend. I'll tell you, if they did try to build a wall between you and I, there are so many ways to overcome that. First of all, you can go under the wall. You can tunnel under it. Let me tell you something. I have learned so much from the old TV show Hogan's Heroes. Most of what I've learned are cautionary tales about writing a sitcom that is Nazi-based. But some of it is about tunneling underground. Now, these prisoners had a bunk in their barracks, and they would lift up the mattress, and under the mattress there was a ladder, and you could descend down the ladder into this labyrinth. I assume it was a labyrinth. It might have just been one big room. I don't know. In my mind, it's a bunch of rooms. They're all connected, and it looks like a one of those large apartment buildings. It looks, I don't know if you ever watched the show, The Odd Couple. They had a very large apartment building, I think, for New York. And that's what I imagined it was like under there. Because just like The Odd Couple, there'd be poker games and all going on underground, under the prison. They were in a prison, but they found freedom. How would they find freedom going underground? The underground, that's where they don't notice you. The officials don't notice you. The caretakers, the gatekeepers of culture do not notice you. The people that would keep you prisoner, that would hold you back, they don't notice you if you go underground. Underground is where we meet. This show is underground. We have tunneled under any wall that people are trying to erect between us, and they are. Oh, they're trying to put up walls so that we don't know we're friends anymore. But I recognize you. I can look over there and I can recognize you by the things that you do, by your weaknesses and by your strengths. I know that heart. I recognize that heart. That's a human heart. And they're not going to keep us apart. So I can just go under the wall. Now, there's another thing that I learned, and it's from a movie called Andrei Rublev. I think that's it. I'm not Russian, so I'm going to get it wrong. But in this movie, someone builds a hot air balloon. It doesn't work very well, but they build a hot air balloon really years before people did that. And there was people chasing them, soldiers, but they floated up in the sky just for a while. Eventually it came down and they were killed. I don't want to spoil the movie for you, but this happens in the first few minutes. So there's so much more in the movie that I'm not spoiling, but the balloon eventually fell down, but that doesn't matter. Because for those few minutes, there was real freedom in the air. Do you see what I'm saying? So they might put up walls between us, trying to make us enemies, trying to confuse us, trying to make us forget that we are family. But there's two things that we can do. There's the underground, and there's the air. And right now, this is doing both. I am speaking to you through the underground airwaves. Yes, no one's noticing us here. This is our secret radio project. See, they're not paying attention. Because, I guess, because we don't have anything to take. They leave you alone when they think you're a pauper. A pauper. There's a story called The Prince and the Pauper. Now, the prince had a lot of money and wealth and everything, so things were focused. There's a lot to the story. I'm really going to distort it and interpret it incorrectly. But what I'm saying is the pauper, you don't think you can take anything from. But the pauper might be a secret prince. And that's what we're going to do. We're hiding our wealth. We're sticking it underground. We're sticking it in the air. They can't find us. We're going to be together. We're going to overcome those walls. What's something else we can do? Go straight through the wall. How do you do that? Well, you turn yourself into like a four-dimensional being. How do you do that? Time. How do you do that? You lose your corporeal, is that the right word? Your bodiness. And you just go through the wall with your mind. How do you do that? I don't know. But I think it involves memory. I think it involves leaving something there, maybe writing something on the wall so that when somebody comes by, they see it and they say, there was another human being here. Here is evidence of a lonely heart. Oh, I just stick my own heart up there on the wall like a piece of chewed gum if I didn't need it, but I do need my heart. I need it. And it might resemble a piece of chewed gum. It does a little bit. It looks like a piece of gnawed up Big Red. And it's shoved into my chest. And other people have chewed it. That's why there's bite marks all over it, because others have tried to chew up my heart. And I let them. I let them because I know that it's resilient. I know it's going to come back. And I know that if they try to swallow it, they're going to choke on my heart. and they're going to spit it back out because it isn't a piece of gum. It's a bloody piece of fat. Blah, and they don't want that. Oh, my friends, I want to go around these walls that keep us apart. You can't keep us apart. Not when we have all these methods to go over, around, inside, outside, upside down. The boring Steen Bayers did that. They call them that because they'd bore right through the... They had a boring machine. And the boring machine, they called it Child's Book Series. But it's really for boring. And they teared it down and they went right through it. And nobody noticed it. And they would sneak back and forth. And what did people do? They just got together and they had parties. That's what we're doing. We're just getting together and hanging out. You want to hang out? What's that even mean? It just means just be together. We could be together anywhere. Let's say we were trapped at a mine. Oh, that wouldn't be so great. You need, I guess, some promise of freedom. Then it's not. Otherwise, it can. But there's a difference between being trapped in a mine alone and being trapped in a mine with others. Because then you have other people you can say, man, do you know what it's like to be trapped in a mine? And they'll go, I do. I do too, weirdly. I'm right here with you. Oh, thank you. You understand what it's like. And that's what I want to do to you. I want to sit, not to you, for you. I don't know. Sometimes you think you're doing things for people and you're just doing things to them. So I try to ask what you need before I try to help you. What would you like? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give things out anyway. It's like that at Halloween. People come to the door and I say, can I take your order? And then I got to tell them, really, it's a fixed price menu. And I just have the one. It's free, but I just have the one sort of candy. I'm so sorry. So you can ask for it and I'm going to give you whatever I have anyway. And what I have is this. All I have to give you is a sort of reflection of yourself, but that's handy. Don't you want to see that a little bit of yourself in others? I do. I want to know what's going on. What's in that? Is that a real person or am I imagining it? No, look, I can see a little of myself in them. And why is that? Maybe I'm in them. Maybe I'm some sort of spirit. And that's what I'm seeing. No, I hope not. I hope I haven't possessed them. I hope I haven't possessed you. If I have, I apologize. If I'm living inside of you as a sort of extra spirit or something like that, please, I don't mind. Just, you can put me away in a little mind palace room as long as it's comfy. And then you can get me out when you want to. I won't take up much space. I'm going to be very quiet guest in your mind. I don't want to interrupt things. There's so much going on there, I know. We have struggles. I don't want to just drop by. That's why this is the best way to do it. I'll be floating overhead. That's me in the airways. I'm Hardy White floating overhead. And all you have to do is go outside of your home and look up into the sky and wave me down. Say, Hardy White, come on down. I'm over here. And I float down like Mary Poppin with my umbrella. Or I thought the British called it bumbershoot, and I talked to a British friend, and they said, that is not a word. And I went, I wonder where it came. Is that really ours? Is that American, the bumbershoot? And they go, well, it must be. I have literally never heard that word. And I was like, how about that? I love it, because we call it that more than umbrella, don't we? No. We have two pronunciations, umbrella and umbrella. Insurance and insurance. That's the only, I know there's a lot of words like that. Idiot. Idiot, idiot, idiot. Can you hear the difference in my voice? Because Butchie told me that. He said, just say it. He told me this. He goes, listen to this little trick, a little mind hack. He said, say, I'm an idiot over and over again. I was like, I'm an idiot, 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 I'm an idiot. And he filmed it for me, which was nice. And I think he put it up on social media. But it was what it was, as I was trying to unlock my mind. I was trying to get through those walls, the things that separate me from others, the things that keep me from connecting, the things that lead me to believe that you are an other and that we are not family. But I know we are family. I know it in my heart. Because even though people have tried to take away my memories of the past, even though they're trying to take things away, I know we're connected. Because my memory goes back to being a single cell. And it was just us single cell folk, you remember? And a lot of us moved away, and some of us moved away and became vertebrates, and some of us moved away and became, I don't know, little things, I don't even know what they are. Little goopy things, but they're still my cousins. Look, I don't understand. A lot of my cousins, their opinions and all are alien to me. For instance, jellies and also sea stars. I don't know what they're thinking because they have a different neurology than I do. A sea star has a different nerve. It doesn't have a central nervous system. It doesn't have a central brain. You understand?
No. What are you talking about?
I don't know exactly. But I do know this. My human siblings are very much like me as compared to a sea star. Yet we're still related, but you're closely related. I mean, we even look alike. No, we don't. Yeah, we do. What is that thing on your face? What? Here. Is there something on me? No, 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 no. That. My nose? Yes, your nose. I have one. So, and look at these. What, teeth? I have teeth. Not as many as you, probably. But I have teeth. And have ears. Are you Mr. Rogers? No, why? Mr. Rogers have ears? No, you're pointing it out like we're children. I'll tell you why, because you never really stop being a child. You never really stop learning, and if you do, you have made a terrible error. You're not supposed to stop learning. They always say, oh, you're done with school, and you think that's it, and I don't have to learn anymore. Ugh. Learning is not a burden. They make it seem burdensome because they're trying to shove things into your head that you don't understand what they are necessarily, but learning is essential and wonderful. There's so much out there to experience. There's so many memories to acquire. And yes, I know a lot have been shoved into your head and they're wrong. And here's a history. Oh, people go back in time all the time without a time machine. And they take something. I've been to some places in history, some horrible events where people suffer, where thousands of people suffer. Tens of thousands sometimes, hundreds of thousands suffer. And I don't want to go into the details of suffering because I want you to use your imagination. And then I come forward in time and I start reading about it. And I go, whoa, 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 this is not what happened. You are eliminating that suffering because you can't deal with it that it happened. Oh, hiding isn't going to do any good. Hiding from those terrible memories aren't going to do any good. We got to look at it accurately. I want to look at it. I want to open my eyes. I want to go out there fearlessly and say, I am not afraid to encounter those mistakes and horrors because I am committed to doing better and to loving better and to connecting more and to preventing that from ever happening again. And to do that, you got to be my friend. We all got to be my friend. I got to be invested in you. Come on, we got to make some connection. We have to be, so then we're related, then we're a family, and then we'll be forced to work things out. Come on, lend me your hand. Put your hand in mine. It's not so bad. I'm a little different than you. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I embarrass you. Maybe I'm a different color or gender or experience or everything. Maybe you don't like me inherently. Let me tell you, maybe I don't like myself. Help me. Help me. I'm going to be I'm your sibling. And I just want to come home. And I've been out and I don't know where I've been. And people telling me all sorts of lies. I want to come home. I want to come home. Don't you? Maybe you are home. It's Hardy White's house. Come on in. It's not a real house. Everybody can fit. Because my door is a virtual door. You can be small and get through it. You can be large and get through it. There is nothing that will, any size body you have, any types, you can be as any kind of abled. If you can't move or you can't walk, I can come to you with my voice. If you can't leave your apartment, if you can't leave your house, I will come to you as a disembodied voice. And that's enough because my body's nasty anyway. You don't want to see it. I'd just rather send you my memories, and I will send them to you as sound. And they won't see the sound going over the wall. They won't see the sound going under the wall because this sound is underground. You are listening to the underground. You are tuned in to an air balloon that is floating high in the sky over all the things that would divide us.
Oh, my
friend, look at you. I recognize you. Like I said, you got... Do you have two eyes? No, I don't. That's all right. That's all right. We don't have everything. Not everybody has 100% of all human things. We're all broken. We're all never whole to begin with, maybe. It's not how it works. And maybe we're not moving towards any wholeness. And I don't know. And I don't care. Because, you know, when a little child is lost in a department store, it just wants to find its family. And that's what I want to do. I don't know where I am. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I just want to find my family. And I suspect that it's you. And if we find one another, oh, do you ever go somewhere with a big group, with a big family? Oh, the strength you feel. Because you feel, you know, stuff is not happening to me anymore. It's happening to us. And us feels right. It just feels right. I can still be me in us. In fact, I insist that you be me in us. Don't lose yourself. You lose yourself in the music, the moment you want it. Once in a lifetime. Eminem said that. He didn't mumble it, though. I did. Because I forgot a little. I could sit here and remember, but why? Let it go past. Let it go. Let it float out there. I'm not afraid. Hey, I'm going to wind it back, Hardy. And you're going to listen to that time that you didn't remember that Eminem song. Oh, I don't know. I'm sure that sounds like me. Did I make a fool of myself? That sounds like me. Did I do something incorrectly? That sounds like me. I'm not going to be able to control my image. I won't be able to control the things that come out of me. I can't. If you've ever been sick, if you've ever had your body rebel against you and say, I don't want this. Can't I will myself back to life? I don't want to die. I don't want to be sick. And you say, well, I feel like I got no control at all. And then you're around other people. And then you feel bigger than your puny little sick body. And you feel greater. And you only feel greater around others like that. And I'm reaching out to you because I know that how easy it is to get left behind. It's so easy to get left behind. Just when you're running the natural course of human existence. I'm sick or I'm tired. I can't. And you feel like, oh, the world's forgetting about me. They're all out at O'Doobies. O'Doobies. Is that a place? That's not it. There's no restaurant called O'Doobies. I know there's not. And people go, O'Doobie is in the... No, it's an Irish name, O'Doobie's. And I guess it's sort of a fern bar thing. I know that's sort of dated. But you're going down there, and I would love to go with my friends like that. Oh, heck. We're going to come to you. We will come to you. That's what this radio station always does, comes to you. You don't have to go there. Because we know you might not be able to or ready to. And we're always there. It's like the welcome wagon. I was always very upset that the welcome wagon was not a literal wagon, any kind. All right? The kind of wagon with wagon wheels and all that. Those wagons are a little toy red wagons. None of that. It's none of that. And I don't even, back in the day, as a station wagon, sometimes they say the welcome wagon is here, and it's literally a type of wagon. And they would come and say, oh, we want you to welcome you to the neighborhood. Thank you. And here's some cookies, and here's some names of local businesses. Thank you very much. And here's a flower, and here is a rose bush to plant in your front lawn. Thank you very much. Now, that's some neighborhoods used to do that. In other neighborhoods, I had a friend that moved into a neighborhood, and I'm not going to say where it was in southern Georgia. But he moved into that neighborhood, and the next day got something in his mailbox saying, you're a sinner. What church are you going to go to, sinner? I said, oh, that's a wonderful, what a wonderful way to greet someone. You either believe what we do or you're out. Oh, feel the warmth. And I can't imagine that anybody would want to be treated that way and that treat others that way. Oh, my goodness. You pull in, I don't care what you look like. Just another human being. I can imagine what that's like. Oh, I know what that's like. I came into this world. I had a fleshy rope, and it's connected to my belly. It felt permanent, and I was permanently connected to my mother through a fleshy rope, and then they cut. It's like cutting off part of me, and now I'm alone. I'm separated. I was part of something. I felt like I was part of something, too, but one now. No, I'm alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. We're all connected. by fleshy rope that you cannot see. These sounds coming from my mouth are sort of umbilical. You can see it coming out. It's disgusting. But it is. Oh, it's a lifeline. It's an air hose. You were down on the bottom of the ocean in a diving bell. And we're going to get an air hose down to you if you're still alive. I think you're still alive. And you're down there and you may be separated from us, but I'm going to sit on the other end of this air hose. Are you breathing okay? And you go, yes, I'll be breathing fine, but stop talking into the air hose because you're blowing a carbon dioxide into it and I need oxygen.
Okay, sorry, I'll try not to, but I just wanted to talk to you a little bit, keep you company.
I'm good now, just need to breathe some air and then we can talk in a bit.
Roger, will call. That means received, will comply.
All right, I know what it means.
Awesome, all right, you be careful down there at the bottom of the ocean.
Thank you. Oh, the dismal abyss. We've all been there. Have you? Have you been to the dismal abyss? The bottom of the ocean, the bottom of the virtual ocean, the place that we go when we fall off that boat, the place where we go when we're Jonah and we're tossed over into the storm because we do not want to fulfill our thing. What is it you're supposed to fulfill? Your destiny. I couldn't remember the word destiny. I was thinking, you know why? Because I had a bad experience in Destin, Florida, and it's part of destiny, and now I got it blocked out. And I'm sure there's nothing wrong with Destin, but you know how it is. Like one time I ate bad gravy, and I was like, no more gravy for me. But it's our destiny, isn't it, to recognize one another? I believe it is, and I'm going to fulfill that. I'm not going to run away. Oh, come to Hardy's house today. We're having an open house. It's such an open house that it doesn't even have any walls. I'm not really for walls. I'm kind of for walls. I'm very, very small ones, ones that you could go around. What are they for? What are they good for? Well, they're good for a lot of different things. Like they hold up a ceiling. I like them to use them for that, but I've got to cut holes in them. We call them windows. Got to put a window in there. That way you can see through. Other way, the wall will block things. It'll block space. It'll block time. It'll block air. It'll block others. It'll block love. Ooh, we got to be careful what you block. You got to be careful. There needs to be a free flow of energy. Anybody who teaches any kind of made-up medicine will tell you that. Say there's energy that courses through your bodies. Oh, what is it? Can't be seen. Okay, how do you measure it? Psychically. Oh, sounds fantastic. But we all agree that people do say that, don't they? So there must be something that they're saying. Yes, energy. Flowing. I don't want to interrupt the flow of anything, whether they be words or ideas. Not everything that comes out of my mouth is genius. Nothing that comes out of my mouth is genius, I don't think, because it's the spigot is not hooked up to the right tank. But if I had a big tank of genius in my skull, then my mouth would be, there'll be wonderful things pouring out. But as it is, what's pouring out is good intentions. What's pouring out is a longing that I think others share. What's pouring out is a call out into the world, into the universe, you know.
Radio waves are going out into space. I say this all the time. And the reason I say it all the time is because I want you to think about it because it's a lot more profound than you think it is.
Is it? How do you know what I think?
Some of you have told me that, so I guess I'm speaking to you. But the radio waves go out into space, and perhaps there's someone that hears them. Maybe even us in the past or something. Somebody might hear them. And I want to represent humankind. I want to represent life on Earth accurately, honestly. So what shall I say? That human beings are the greatest species or something? No. What do I say? I will say this.
We are a lonely creature. All of us are calling out to you.
calling out to space people and saying that our hearts long to belong, long to connect and ask you similar questions that we ask ourselves, and they are this: what's it about? Why am I here? Who am I? Oh, my siblings in space, I call out right now, we're not the only human race. I don't know, maybe we are. Maybe I'm calling out to nothing. Even if I am calling out to nothing, I'm hearing it, and I'm reminding myself that I am a caller-outer. That's what we do. I'm a sender of messages. I put messages in bottles. That's what human beings do. We're always shouting out to nothing. That's what we like to do. We like to talk to the sky. We like to talk to our folded hands. We like to talk to ourselves. We like to talk to others, but we don't always like what they say back. That's not how it works. What if the sky spoke back to us? What if our head spoke back to us? And what if it contradicted us occasionally? What if it gently guided us occasionally? What if it corrected us? Oh, my friends, I am here to share experience with you, not to tell you what to do. Likewise, you can suggest things that I do, but when you tell me, I bristle a little bit. So I'm going to try to deliver things in love to you, my messages. And you don't have to deliver them in love to me. You can scold me or yell at me. But I'm saying, as a human being, sometimes I respond inappropriately, like a child. So if you were to yell at me and say, you're a horrible person, or you're an idiot, I may say, okay, you're right, and agree with you. Or I may say, hey, I have some worth. This doesn't sound right. Is this person my enemy? So I'm not telling you what to do. But just for practical purposes, if you're actually interested in repairing and not just destroying everything that is unlike you, then you got to preserve as much as you can. Let's say that you have a damaged wall in your apartment building, and you're like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, I'm going to get charged for this. I've got to fix it. Now, what do? You patch it, don't you? You don't pull the whole wall down. You can't do that. I don't have the time and resources. You try to patch it up. You try to get a piece of drywall, stick it in there, put some mud around there, try to get it maybe screwed into a stud, hopefully. So you might have to cut a little bit extra out, and then you put the patch in there and you fix it. I'm going to fix it. Let me fix what's broken. Let me fix what I've destroyed. Let me fix it. Let me not destroy it all. Can't this be patched? Can't this be repaired? Might have to end it all. Can it be put back together a little bit? Can it be cobbled? I love to cobble. You know, once there is a cobbler, and that cobbler was making, I believe, shoes, because I believe that's what cobblers do. Cobblers are not coopers. So the cobbler was making shoes, and the cobbler was very poor. And he had to make enough shoes one day, and if he didn't make this right amount of shoes, then he was going to go broke, and he'd be out on the street. So the cobbler made his last shoe, and he hadn't made enough, and he went to bed that night realizing that his life was probably over. But in the middle of the night, some elves who lived in the shop woke up, and they worked all night. And in the morning, the cobbler got up, and his whole shop was filled with baked goods. Because that night the elves had baked cupcakes and bread and everything. And the cobbler wept, because that's not what he needed. He needed shoes, and the elves had made the wrong product, because they forgot to ask what he needed. If they had just asked, they could have spent all night making shoes and he'd be fine. But they made little cakes instead. How does that even happen? What's wrong with elves? I don't know. I'm not blaming the cobbler, but maybe the cobbler should have asked for help. We don't do ourselves any favors when we don't ask for help. We don't do ourselves any favors when we reach some sort of dead end and we're panicking and we're just waiting for something to happen. We're waiting for elves to read our mind. Don't wait for elves to read your mind. It is no shame to ask for help.
We are beings that need help. You need help coming into this world. You usually need help leaving this world. Even though it's easy to die, it isn't easy to die. Even though it's easy to be born, it's not easy to be born. And everything in between is certainly not easy. And you need help. You think you've done it by yourself? You think you've done all this alone? Did you build that road? Did you build this house? No, but I gave the money. Listen. Everything that you have is because of cooperation. Nobody is for, some of these things were made out of love and everything. You've eaten baked goods that were made out of love that probably didn't cost what they were really worth. You had help. And if you don't admit it, you're going to be making yourself a living hell thinking you did all this by yourself. You had the help even of the most lowly. Lowly worm. He's a character. And I'm now, do I owe money now to every time I say, I don't think so. I can say, I could say, I said Mary Poppins. I don't know. They're in the, I don't know, you can say people's names, right? I don't even care. I'll say people's names. Can't tell me what to think. I'll go ahead and think it silently. There, I'm being subversive. Guess what I'm thinking now? I'm now thinking a ton of copyrighted material. I'm humming a copyrighted song in my head. Come get it. You don't even know what it is. Come try to get it. Come try to take this pleasure away that I've already experienced. Go ahead. Try to take it away. Try to tell me I didn't write this language so I can't have it. Yeah, you didn't make up the word have it. It's not a word. It's two words. It's not your word. You didn't make it. You didn't make it either. I made this song. Did you? Did you really, though? Trace the origin of those things. That's like saying you made your baby. It's just original. No. You were made, and then somebody made you, and some of the songs go the same way. That song is based on another song, and it's been going on that way for a long, long time. All of these things that we make and say have deep roots in the past. But walls have been built, and we think everything just happened yesterday, and we don't see those deep roots of the past. We don't want to look at them. We don't want to look at it. It scares us. You scared? Stand with me. You can be with me. You don't have to hide your eyes at the movie theater. Just look over at me. Just look at me. If I stick my face between you and the screen, you can clearly see that what's on the screen is just a representation. It's just art. You don't have to close your eyes. You can look at it. Look at it. Think about it. Look, I'll put my silly face in between it. It's not gonna hurt you to think about it now. See? I'm here. I'll hold your hand. It's not weird. We need one another. The older I get, I love people, you know, but I have more patience with people who are discouraged, with people who are realizing how fragile life is or realizing how impermanent it is. And then they usually wake up. I mean, sometimes they wake up scared. I say, don't be scared. It is. What you're seeing is real. But we're not going to make it tragic. It happens to everybody. We're all in this together. And that does make it better. It makes it better. You know? Doing it alone makes you feel like you're the only one. And now all the pain is centered on you. Share it. Let me share it. All these burdens shared are much lighter. I guarantee it. It doesn't solve, I mean, it doesn't cure things necessarily. It's just, I'm telling you, it's just a trick. It's a wonderful one. It's magic, but magic lifts the heart. And magic elevates the mind. And magic creates joy. And we use that word a little bit now. Does anybody even know what it means? Have you ever even experienced it? Have you experienced contentment or joy? Maybe not. You need help with it. It isn't something you can be that can be done alone. Go off and sit by yourself in stillness and you will encounter it. Maybe not. I encounter it in the midst of others, in the wild, crazy midst of others, in a group of people, all together with you. That's where my joy resides. My joy resides in some crowded, crazy place, in the middle of the mob.
That's where my joy is. My joy is climbing on the top of that wall. And now that I'm on the top of that wall, I can see both sides and how ridiculous it looks under my feet. I've conquered it. There's no wall that I can't scale. There's nothing you can put between me and another that I can't go under or over or around. Just try it. The human heart will not be contained. You can't put that in prison. You can't put anything around it. Try to control everything. Try to line it up. Try to keep your jello in just one place. There it goes. Sorry. It's water that goes into any available crack, and you can't find all of those little places that the stream wants to be. You can't contain the water. You can try to dam it up, but there's nothing stronger than that wonderful substance that seems to have no strength, that seems to have no substance, and yet it can do miraculous things. Oh, my friend, the past 2 weeks I've been with you for the marathon for the show. So many friends helped, and I just want to thank you all, and I will thank as many of you individually as I can. If I have not, know that the great spirit of this thing knows who you are. Nothing. No one is unaccounted for. You are all contributing, no matter how much you did. And I am so grateful because you're knocking down walls. You're knocking down walls, not only in space, but in time. You are preserving memories. And I think that's amazing because they don't preserve well in our heads all the time. They disappear, and I've watched them disappear. I've watched people slowly fade away. So there has to be something more, doesn't there, that resides in us still? Or is it that thingy, somethingy? Can't get a grip on it. What is the word I want? I don't even know. Can't get a hold of it. It's intangible. It's ineffable. That's the problem. I just know it, I just feel it, and I can't always say it every week. So I just end up crying out and making noises sometimes, like a baby. That's what a baby does. A baby has one word for everything. And that means need.
Need.
What do you need?
I don't know, need.
Let's see, I've been a human, let's see, food maybe.
Need.
Okay, it wasn't food. Poo in the pants. Yep, that was it. Poo in the pants. It could have been food. Or it could have been sleep. It could have been anything.
Need.
That's what I hear. I hear you need, and I'm just trying to go through all the things I know about people to go make a checklist to see what you might need. Maybe you need love. Maybe you need companionship. Maybe you need to someone say, hey, come on, you can do it. Maybe you just need someone to acknowledge your suffering, to acknowledge your loneliness, to say, yes, I know, and I recognize it, and I see you. I'm the romper room lady. I'm holding up a clear mirror. I'm holding up a mirror that's not a mirror. I'm holding it up because I recognize that we are the reflection of one another. So I'm going to call out your name and recognize you and say, oh, my friend, I see you. I see you, Doris. I see you, Jack. I see you, Mark. I see you, Michelle. I see you, Joanna. I see you, Hetal. I see all of you. I see you, beautiful people, and your beautiful faces. I see you, Wen. I see you, Ping. I see you, Hussein, and I love you, and you're all my siblings, and I see all your faces, and I acknowledge all the things that you must be going through, all of you. And that's the only reason I'm here.
That doesn't seem like enough.
I know it. I know it. Oh, my goodness. At some point, they will realize, and I will be walled off, and you will not hear me. And they will put walls up, and they will say, Hardy White never existed. And they'll try to convince you that I never was, that there never was a voice out there saying, oh, yes, we do all belong together. My voice will be silenced, as voices like this are always silenced. They want to build walls there so we can't see that we belong together. Because should we all recognize that we belong together, there would be a joy released on this world, loosed on this world.
the likes that has never been seen. And those forces of control, those forces of oppression, they'd be shoved off into the corners where they belong. And I'm sure we need them for something. Like if you're, like you need suppression, let's say when you're in an elevator and you have gas, by all means, you should oppress your bowels. Build a wall in your bowels until that you're in a place where your freedom of expression does some good instead of contributes to suffering. What's wrong with a little odor? Nothing. It's okay. I mean, if you can't, that's, I understand. I'm not going to, my gosh, I'm a human being. I might have bodily functions all the time. You know, I have to be reminded that they're offensive to other people because I think I'm just being a human. People look at you, though, for being a human all the time. I was just on a subway in New York City, and a lady was getting sick. And I wanted to give her some privacy. But, you know, when someone's vomiting in public, you'd kind of, and they're close, you'd want to keep a sort of eye on them, just in case you got to move or react or anything. And I felt sorry for her, but I also realized that it could be any one of us on this subway. The human beings puke. We puke up, and there's no good schedule for it. There's a million reasons she could have been sick, and I don't think she would have chosen to be doing what she was doing. And everybody, you know, there's a man sitting next to her, he didn't even flinch. He looked over and he saw what was going on, and he didn't flinch. Nobody wanted to make her feel bad. I watched compassion. You wouldn't think that's what you were seeing. Say, no, you're not seeing, you're seeing some lady, oh my God. No, I was watching human beings understand other human beings. And that goes on mostly. But we see all the exceptions. We see the exceptions make the news. But we don't see when people just go about their business in an open, kind-hearted human way. We don't see that. But I insist that it happens. I know it happens. Because I'm looking. I'm watching you. Oh, I'm watching. See, I see everything goes down from up here. Mm-hmm. I know what you're putting in the collection plate. And I see it's love. I'm fine with you. I love being your radio friend so much. I'm so thankful. And I'd like to thank my friend Gwilly from the beginning of the show. Because sometimes he is the Welshman at the center of all things. And other times, he's just an artist. But then, occasionally, he is a supernatural, transtemporal being. That means that he is above time and all. Fantastic. Oh, and I want to thank you. Because you're the most important. That isn't just something I say. You're the most important factor here, really. There's nothing. I can do this, and if no one's listening, it doesn't matter. It matters because you're paying attention. It matters because you're there. That's what matters. And that's for that, I thank you so very much.
I've never heard this before. What am I listening to?
Well, that's great. The law insists that we tell you. So I'm Hardy White, and this is Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City and Rockland County, New York, and online worldwide at WFMU.org. Oh, all my worldwide listeners, thank you, Australia, thank you, China, thank you, Germany, thank you, the Netherlands. Thank you so much, UK. Thank you everywhere in the world. And I love being your friend. And please tune in next week so I can be your friend again then. All right, my friends. This is Hardy White, and I will see you again next week.